Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, imagine for the past 100 years, there are messengers that have come to you and to everyone in our nation and have told us that unless we repent and change our ways, our nation will be attacked, and our nation will no longer be a nation, but we will be ruled by others. Would any of us here actually believe that? Because our nation is a superpower, and it doesn't seem like we will be ruled by others anytime soon. But that's exactly what happened to the Israelites. God sent his prophets to them and told them that unless they repent and change their ways, their nation would be destroyed. But they didn't listen. And so God sent the Babylonians to destroy the nation of Israel. And they took the Israelites into exile. And even though the Israelites came back from exile, their nation was still ruled by other nations and other kings. That's the context of Zechariah's ministry and his message. So imagine how shocking it would have been for the Israelites to hear these words. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes. The Israelites were looking forward to the day when their king would come. And that's why the people praised Jesus as they did on that first Palm Sunday. But even though for most of them their praise was misguided, because they viewed Jesus as an earthly physical king, we still joined with them in praising Jesus, our king, who comes. And as we praise Jesus, our King who comes, there are many different aspects that I want us to look at. Here's the first one. See, your King comes to you. A typical king would not come to his people. A typical king would sit on his throne and remain in his palace, and the people would have to come to him. And even if they did, it wasn't always a guarantee that the king would grant an audience with them. But not so with our king. Jesus, our king, comes to us. And this is vitally important because by nature, we never would have come to him. By nature, we are dead in our transgressions and sins. By nature, we view God as our enemy. By nature, we find God's message to be completely and utterly foolish. We never would have come to Jesus, our King, nor would we have cared to. But Jesus, our King, comes to us. And not only has he come to us by coming into this world to be our Savior, but he also comes to us in his word and sacraments. By his word and sacraments, Jesus came to us who were dead in our sins and made us spiritually alive and brought us to faith. By his word and sacraments, Jesus came to us who viewed God as our enemy, and he changed us to view God as our friend and our loving Father. By his word and sacraments, Jesus came to us who viewed his message as being foolish, and he has changed us to embrace his message, to accept it as true, and to believe in it. And he continues to come to us in his word and sacraments to strengthen our faith in him. Rejoice that Jesus, our King, comes to us. But do we have to be afraid of Jesus as he comes to us. Remember when we were kids, and if you were called to the principal's office, there was no feeling of joy, but only the feeling of fear. Is that how we are to view Jesus, our King, who comes? The answer is no. Because Zacharias says here, "See, your King comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Jesus, our King, comes in gentleness and humility. A typical king would only be gentle and possibly humble if someone had earned his favor. But no one earns the favor of Jesus, our King. And yet, he comes in gentleness and humility. Think of how gentle Jesus was. To those who were considered the worst of sinners, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, and those in sin, Jesus was not harsh with them, but he loved them. He associated with them and he reached out to them. To his disciples who were so dense that they were slow to believe and understand what Jesus told them and would constantly bicker among themselves about who was the greatest, Jesus was not harsh with them, but he was patient, slow to anger, and abounding in love. To his own enemies, the Pharisees who hated him and the soldiers who mocked him as they crucified him, Jesus did not speak out curse words against them, but he prayed to God that he would have pity on them and forgive them. That's how gentle he was. And think of how humble Jesus, our King, was. Jesus, our God, did not consider equality with God something to hold on to, but he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. And as he enters into Jerusalem, a typical king would enter on a white stallion or riding in a chariot. But Jesus enters Jerusalem humbly on a lowly donkey. And he does it to fulfill Scripture, not to glorify himself, but to glorify his God. That's how humble Jesus, our King, was. But contrast Jesus, our King, with us, his servants. How gentle are we to those who are considered the worst of sinners? Are we gentle with them? Or do we deal with them harshly, refusing to reach out to them and thinking that we shouldn't associate with them because they're not as good as we are? To those around us who may be slow to understand and who may constant bicker and fight among themselves, are we patient with them? Are we quick to become angry, refusing to try and understand them? To our own enemies who hate us and mock us, do we ever pray for them? Pray that God would take pity on them and forgive them? Or do we only pray to God that he would curse them and bring evil into their lives? And how humble are we? Jesus, our God, made himself lower than God, made himself a servant. Our attitude should be the same as we humble ourselves before others, and yet maybe we can elevate ourselves before others almost to the point that we are viewed as God in their sight. Does our pride and arrogance lead us to boast about ourselves, to flaunt who we are and what we have done and achieved in order to receive the glory for ourselves and not to give any of that glory to God Himself. The reality is, in one way, shape, or form, we have not been gentle and humble as our King. And therefore, we should be terrified of Jesus, our King, coming. Because Jesus should not come to us with gentleness and humility, but He should only come to us in all of His glory and with His harsh wrath and punishment. But listen again to what Zechariah says about our King. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. A typical king would come with his army and his weapons to wage war and to bring wrath upon those who rebelled against him. But Jesus, our King, comes to take those things away. Jesus, our King, comes to proclaim peace. But how can He proclaim peace when He should proclaim His harsh wrath and judgment upon us? It's because Jesus, our King, came as righteous and having salvation. He entered into Jerusalem to complete God's plan of salvation so that we could hold on to salvation and be righteous in God's sight. And at the end of the week, Jesus would complete that. Although Jesus entered into Jerusalem with the cheers and the shouts of praise by the people, He would exit out of Jerusalem with the jeers and the shouts of crucifixion against Him by the people. Although Jesus entered into Jerusalem on a donkey, He would exit out of Jerusalem carrying a cross. Although Jesus entered into Jerusalem with life, He would exit out of Jerusalem to His death. And it may seem surprising to us how just in a span of a week, the people would go from praising Jesus to wanting Him dead. But this was God's plan. Because Jesus, our King, came to become the suffering servant so that He can proclaim peace to us. Therefore, we don't have to be afraid of Jesus, our King, who comes. Because He comes to proclaim peace. He tells us that we have been reconciled with God. Our sins have been forgiven. But it's not just the sins in our lives that bring us unrest. There's also our sufferings. But Jesus, our King, comes to proclaim peace. He knows the sufferings we go through. He experienced them all. And therefore, He proclaims peace as He will help us through those sufferings. And all of our doubts, our fears, our worries, our anxieties, our things, the things that bring us to depression and the things that cause us to cry tears, Jesus, our King, comes to proclaim peace. He tells us that all of us who are weary and burdened can come to Him and He will give us rest. Jesus, our King, comes to proclaim peace. And there's one more thing that Jesus, our King, comes to bring. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. These words would have been shocking to the people in Zechariah's day. Because during the heyday of their empire, their nation extended only up to the Euphrates River in the north. That's the river that's mentioned here. But now Zechariah tells them that their king would have an empire that extends throughout the whole world. Jesus, our King, comes with such a kingdom. Normally, when we think of Jesus' kingdom, we may think of it as heaven. And yes, heaven is a part of Jesus' kingdom. But when we are talking about Jesus' kingdom, we are really talking about his ruling activity. Jesus, our King, rules over the whole earth, and he rules in the hearts of his believers. And Jesus has promised that nothing in this world, not even hell itself, can overcome his kingdom. But if you're anything like me, we may tend to think of Jesus' kingdom in this grand global scale. And yes, it is true that Jesus rules over the whole earth in this grand global scale. But don't forget that Jesus' kingdom is within you and within me personally. He rules in our hearts. And what Jesus has promised, that nothing in this world, not even hell itself, can overcome his kingdom, that applies to you and to me personally. Jesus firmly established his kingdom in our hearts on the day that we were baptized. And he continues to strengthen his rule in our hearts through his word. In his word, we are told that Jesus rules over us by declaring peace to us that our sins are forgiven. As he continues to rule over us, he comes to us with gentleness and humility. As he continues to rule in our hearts, he changes us to be humble and gentle as him. And he will continue to rule in our hearts until that day that he takes us to his kingdom in heaven, where he will forever come to us with his peace, his gentleness, and his love. Therefore, let us rejoice with those who first gave praise to Jesus on that Palm Sunday. Let us shout aloud that Jesus our King comes. Jesus our King comes to us. Jesus our King comes with gentleness and humility. Jesus our King comes to proclaim peace to us. And Jesus our King comes with a kingdom where he will rule in our hearts and lives until that day when Jesus will come again and take us to be in his kingdom of heaven forever. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. During the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.